Hi, friends. I'm Rob Tigan.
And I'm Joanna. And this is the Growing Home Together podcast.
We're caring for the soul of your family, helping you grow closer to God
and each other. Thank you for joining us today for the Growing Home Together podcast. Now, I remember when our oldest son, Josh, was about 3 years old, and his favorite game was dumping out his bin of Matchbox cars onto the floor. And he'd arrange all those cars in rows by their color, and he'd work so hard with his little fingers to make each row as straight and even as he could. Now, fast forward over 20 years, and I still see some of that little boy inside of him. I mean, he has this gift of putting order to chaos, whether it's remodeling a broken down bathroom or taking a complex biblical concept and breaking it down into layman terms that we can live out in our day to day. So from the very beginning, the giftedness that God created in our son was coming into the light.
Yes, and our son is just like your kids in that every single child is uniquely gifted in a way they see the world and engage with it. And today's guests, Bill Hendricks and Bev Godby, are going to help us understand how important and powerful it is to discover who our kids really are and who they're meant to be. Bill Hendricks is the president of the Global Center for Giftedness, and Bev is a senior associate and coach at the Giftedness Center in Dallas, Texas. Together, they authored a new book titled, So How Do I Parent This Child? To help us know and celebrate our kids. Thank you, Bev and Bill, for joining us today.
Great to be with you.
It's a real privilege. Thank you so much for inviting us.
Oh, yeah, we're so glad you're here. And Bill and Bev, I am fascinated that you are a brother and sister writing a book about parenting. So what led you to write your book together?
Well, we've spent really a couple of decades or more working with individuals at our consulting practice in Dallas, helping people discover their giftedness. And we do that by not a test or an assessment or a questionnaire. We do it through an interview process where people tell us stories from their life about activities they've done that they've enjoyed doing and done well. And out of those stories, you discover that there's a very consistent pattern of behavior that each person lives out that's unique to them. Many of those stories go back into childhood and even into early childhood. And we realized that children are living out this thing that we call their giftedness from the time they're born, and parents have a front row seat on that behavior. And we work with people, you know, college age on up, but we realize, you know, it's possible for a parent to make observations about their child's, what we call their motivated behavior. And they will begin to notice that there are certain patterns to the way their child functions. And it's all pointing to that child's giftedness. That has lots of advantages when it comes to parenting.
We also noticed that there was somewhat of a sacred quality to those early stories. People would tell them and they would literally start crying or be very emotional or just get excited. You could see the joy in their eyes. And many times these were stories they had never told before. And so we didn't know whether their parents would even have known about these. But if they had heard them, I'm sure they would have recognized that child. And so what we wanted to do in the book, and we actually, the book came out of our clients asking us, do you have anything? This thing, it has helped me so much learn about myself. What about my kids? And we're basically telling you it's happening right in front of you. And so it's not about looking at your kid because you're paying lots of attention to him. It's more changing how you are looking at your child. So that's really what the book was all about.
Yeah, that's great. You know, when I was a kid, I heard the term gifted and I thought it was the label for, you know, super achievers with straight A report cards. And, you know, that wasn't me at all. but you present a much different definition of giftedness when it comes to our kids. So can you help us understand what giftedness really is?
Yeah, well, the simplest definition I could give you is that giftedness is what you're born to do. Everybody's born to do something. For one person, they love solving problems. They never met a problem they didn't want to solve. For somebody else, it's understanding something at a very deep level. For somebody else, it's like your son, Jason, who likes to bring order out of chaos. For somebody else, it's to build something and get a finished product. I mean, we could go on and on and on about all the different kinds of things people are born to do, but everybody's born to do something. And that's a combination of actual ability that they have and are motivated to use, as well as motivation. There's an impulse, there's a desire, there's an eagerness to exercise that ability in some way.
And it's somewhat different from talents. A lot of times people, you're right, Rob, hear the gifted and they think immediately of talented and gifted. They think it's academic. That is a kind of ability to learn that is, you know, very noticeable. And so they put kids in programs like that. The problem is for people like you and me who perhaps weren't in those programs, you can begin to think, well, I have no giftedness. You hear that word giftedness and you tend to make that connection. But every person that comes into the world has a particular way that they go about doing life, as Bill said. And so you can't really tell your son about putting cars in a box and then dumping them out and lining them up. That's in him. That's irrepressible. He cannot not be that child. And he's showing you something that is very important to him, that as a parent is such a clue for you to be able to use in all kinds of ways.
Yeah, I really love that. And, you know, your book really challenged me to slow down and become a closer observer of all my kids. Can you share with us some practical ways that we can discover the giftedness of our children?
Yeah, the first rule, I guess you'd say, is always follow the energy. You know, giftedness is a kind of an energy that the person exhibits. And by that, I mean, you know, what does your child spend a lot of time doing and on that task? They don't get distracted. They put a lot of energy into it. It holds their interest. You know, what activities does the child keep coming back to again and again? Because they obviously seem to enjoy that activity. What activity comes along out of the blue that your child was fairly bored or listless, and suddenly they come alive and they've got energy like you've never seen before? Those are the moments when you can make observations. You don't want to jump to conclusions just because the kid plays with toy cars doesn't mean, oh, I guess he's going to grow up and be a mechanic. We don't know that yet. We just know that for this moment, there's something about that activity of playing with the cars that's holding their attention and is eliciting that energy out of them. And so you make observations, and we suggest that you begin a simple journal with just simple entries. Today, my son played with his toy cars for the better part of 2 hours, and it was like nobody could interrupt him. And that's it. And you record that over, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 years, you're going to have a mountain of evidence that points to that child's giftedness.
There's also a kind of a secondary title of our book that is discovering the wisdom and the wonder of who your child was meant to be. There's something, as Bill said, that comes alive about your child in that moment. And that really is a window into what matters to him or her, how to engage him or her. And so we're kind of wanting to invite parents into that discovery process. And the word process is important here because the process is not about getting a product at the very end. It's about having a relationship with that particular child. And so these are very important ways to begin to think about how to do that with this child, how to engage this child, how to love this child, and really celebrate the belovedness that only that child has.
Yeah. Joanna, one other answer to your question. Let me just give a little story. We have a story like this in the book, but I literally saw that story lived out recently after church. Kids were playing in the playground and parents were there talking, and one family was beginning to leave. And this little girl, she couldn't have been more than about 2.5 or 3. She's in her little dress and she comes by and suddenly she stops and she looks on the ground and she stoops down. And I couldn't tell what she was looking at, but she was fascinated. She was fixed on that thing. And without even looking up, she said, "Mommy, look." To her credit, the mother did what you just said. She slowed down and she stood there for a minute, and then she stooped down to see what the child was seeing. And the child was just, as I say, fixated on what turned out to be a butterfly that passed away, I guess, and was lying there on the ground. It was pretty large. The mother picked up a leaf and they picked up this butterfly and they took it very carefully in the car home. And I found out from the father the next week that they put that butterfly in a jar. And all week long, this little girl would come and look in the jar and just observe and make comments about the butterfly. And, you know, we don't know yet what that means. But one thing we know is that that little girl found something in that butterfly that spoke to her heart and activated her energy. And the parent was wise enough to go with it.
Mm, I love that.
That's so good. Yeah. And I think, you know, your book does offer so much practical advice. And what I love about it is it, you know, we talk about our kids being the students, but you kind of challenge us to be students of our kids and in just real practical ways throughout the day. It doesn't have to be big stuff, but just watching and observing like that story you told, and see kind of what makes them come alive and look at those as opportunities. Because I know for me as a parent, it gets very easy to get busy and my kids see things like that. And I'm like, you know, and I'm kind of ready to move them on to the next rather than use that as an opportunity to discover some of that giftedness. So I love that about your book and your story. So, you know, I know in our family, I'm sure with many parents who are listening, our kids are growing older. So how can we tap into our kids' giftedness at any age or stage, do you think?
I think it's the same process. I think it's about paying attention to what they love. What do they get energy from? What you know, kind of thing do they spend a lot of time on? I was going to also say that one of the things that Bill and I really encourage parents to think about is how often do you pay attention to what's wrong with them, what they're not doing, what's disappointing you, rather than what's right with them. And while all parents have to correct behavior and do things that are not popular with the kids, to be able to name those things, what is right with my child? What is the most right with him or her is really important. And as they get older, oftentimes they tend to at times go more interior. You're going to have to be a little more creative about figuring out what they're thinking, what they're doing. But back to the idea of relationship, the more that you've created that, the better you will do in the teenage years when, of course, they're going to become their own people more broadly. But we really do encourage parents, no matter what stage you're figuring this out and wanting to do, to, again, go through that door. If they are doing video games nonstop, then you're going to want to figure out what can I do to get in that room to play a video game with my son or daughter and figure out what is so fascinating to him or her about this. And that's a little counterintuitive for parents, you know, because they just want to shut it down usually. But to be able to really be a partner in curiosity, we always say, let's be curious and not critical. The curiosity will give you the door in. The criticalness will tend to shut the door.
Well, and of course, one advantage you have with older children is that their ability to communicate is more sophisticated than with an infant or a toddler or even a young child. And so you can ask them directly, what do you find so fascinating about that? Or what do you enjoy about that? And don't just let them get away with, I don't know, I just like it. Try to get them to describe, you know, what it is that they like about the activity. Now, having said that, let's make sure that we realize that which is enjoyable for your child may not at all be enjoyable or interesting for you, because as a parent, you have your own giftedness. I can well remember when my oldest daughter, who is today a professional trumpet player, but in fifth grade, when they put a trumpet in her hand at school and she started to come home and practice it, you know, it was rough go there for a while she was figuring out how to blow it. And then, you know, she practiced and practiced and practiced for several years. And I remember one time she comes out just beside herself with excitement. You know, it was daddy, daddy, daddy. I hit the, you know, whatever the note was, the high E above, you know, high C or whatever. And just thrilled with what had happened. And I remember, I'm feeling good that she's feeling good, but somehow it didn't wow me. Well, why not? Well, cause I don't have the gifts that we'd get excited about hitting that note. I have different gifts. And so we parent out of our giftedness, our own giftedness, which is one reason why it's important for parents to discover their own giftedness, if they're going to try to discover their child's giftedness, because you realize, okay, this may not be interesting to me. This may not be something that I would choose, but because I love my child, I want to know what is it that they love to do and enter into that with them.
Yeah. Well, you and Rob were talking a few minutes ago that, we can fall into thinking that our giftedness is tied to achievement, right? But
right.
Yeah, but you say that when a child is using their giftedness, it's entirely tied to doing what they love to do. So how do we handle, as moms and dads, that tension of giving our kids space to pursue their passions in a world that has other demands and expectations on them?
I think that's such an important thing, because a lot of people will read this and think, well, we can't just let our kids do what they want to do all the time. There's all kinds of things that they must do. I think that what we are not saying that, by the way. We don't agree that we think it's very important that kids live in a world, by the way, that is not their giftedness. And that's true for all of us. So we're all born into a world that in a way doesn't fit how we do life, no matter what our giftedness is. And so it's about learning that this giftedness has been given to you for purpose in this world, but there are many things that there are other people that also have gifts that are not like yours that you've got to learn how to adjust to and use well, and to also celebrate their giftedness. So teams are great for kids to learn to do those kinds of things, because there's stuff you have to do if you're part of the soccer team that maybe that's not your best, but you learn to do that. So actually being in this world is a little bit of an experience of that, but definitely parents have to set up things well, the structure, I call it scaffolding, for the child to be able to climb to the heights that they're meant to. But I think it's also when you know the child's giftedness, again, that gives you some real clues as to how to best set that up. I have a daughter who I remember very much when she was in seventh grade. I said, honey, you've got to have goals. She goes, okay, mommy, what do I do? I said, well, let's get something out and let's sit down and write out your goals. And so she sat there for a moment and she looked at me and she goes, Mom, what are my goals? And I thought, I do goals. She doesn't understand goals. And to this day, she's a real in the moment kind of child. She's learned how to have to do that, but that was never going to be a strong suit for her. I remember just thinking, how can she not understand what a goal is? You know, even though she was my soccer player who played in college, and she knew what a goal was, but not those kind of goals. So that was a real learning curve for both of us.
But the key there is that while you sort of coached her and helped her, you know, to get enough goalness in order to get into school and so forth, you didn't shame her for not being a goal-oriented person.
Exactly. And I think shaming is one of the things that Bill and I are just really key into. That is that what you're shaming is the person. And we got to be really careful about that, because that can create lifelong damage for them. So yes, we want to correct, we want to put some guardrails up, but the idea of shaming a child for who they are can definitely be a place you don't want to take your child.
Well, and I'd point out, it's my own observation, that increasingly we are living in a culture of shame, because our tendency with parenting is often the first thing we say is, what's wrong with my child? Mm-hmm. You know, the child does something that surprises us or is a little bit off the map from what is, quote, normal, whatever that means. And the next thing you know, man, we've got them in front of experts to test out and tell us what's, quote, wrong with the child. And the answer is, you know, there's nothing wrong with them. They're just trying to be who they are and you're not understanding it. Mm. I mean, there's a place and a time and a role for checking out what you perceive to be problems. If the child is acting in ways that are harming themselves, harming other people, creating, you know, problems and it, there may be something, you know, there that needs to be paid attention to. But I guess the core message of giftedness is that every person at the core is an inherently valuable, worthy person.
Usually the things that we see that parents will tend to, and I think it's a lot of unintentional shaming, is something that is not in them. And they will see it in the child and maybe who knows what they've come from, but they will tend to put some kind of weighted
judgment
on it.
Yeah.
And so a great example is I had three girls. When I had my first grandson, he was a bundle of energy. When he was laying on the floor as an infant, his little feet were just going do, 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 do. And I was like, whoa, when he stands up, that kid's going to be off and running. And he had the energy of 16 kids, I swear. I would watch him, you know, over at my house, and he was just like always moving. And I remember saying one day to him, Liam, honey, I think this house just cannot manage any more energy. I think you're going to have to go outside, honey, and run around the entire block. And he goes, okay, Nana. So he goes and he runs around he was unbelievably fast. And he came to the door and he goes, should I go around again? And I said, oh yeah, I actually think maybe that would be great. So he did, you know, and he was calmer when he came in, but it's like, what I didn't say to him was stop doing that. Stop being that, you know, it was more like, we got to find a way to channel this.
I love that. And I love the way that you're kind of describing the ability to be responders to our kids instead of controllers of our kids. And you've got my mind just going, thinking about my son doing his homework. Because with like what you're saying with the shaming, like I would probably default to valuing focus and speed and organization and moving in a straight line and all these things that are honestly far outside one of my kids' areas of giftedness. But that child is the most creative and relational person I've probably ever met. And I notice if I come alongside him in his homework and we make it a game, or I just give him the gift of my presence, or I let him bounce things off of me verbally, it might not be the path through the homework that I would choose, but it sure makes for a way happier house and a way less stressed out kind of a kid. But yeah, I do though have to take your advice and really get over my own way of moving through a task for sure.
The harder, I was just going to say that a somewhat harder, if I could put it that way, child to parent may be the quiet child, the child who doesn't give you a lot externally to work with, because so much of their giftedness is taking place inside of them and inside of their head and their mind. And they can become a bit inscrutable. And that too can be a place where shame can enter. We talk in the book about the labeling a child as shy. You know, when you think about shy, the connotation of that is not positive in our culture. Bev, you had a wonderful way of talking about one of your daughters.
Yeah, the same goalless daughter. Also, she was my child that people would say was shy. And I noticed it very early. And my husband and I are pretty outgoing. And so that was a not me kind of experience. And yet it was so clear to me that when she was comfortable, at home and stuff, she was very happy. I remember her kindergarten teacher told me that was a problem and we needed to get that addressed. Fortunately, I'm married to a psychologist. And so when we got out to the car, I'm freaking out. And he's like, honey, there's no problem with her. Okay. She just needs to, you know, have the time that she needs. And that made me think that what we often said to other people to kind of explain her or even her to herself, she was slow to warm up. And I now look back on that. There was nothing really wrong with that. But what it didn't say was what was right with her. And what I wish I would have told her and have gone back even now and told her, this is what I wish I would have told you, is you take the time you need to feel comfortable. And that really puts it back in a way of thinking about, you know, slow to warm up is like something that's a little deficit there. But to take the time you need almost like praises her for knowing herself and being able to respond to that.
Well, and so roll the clock forward on that child who now is an adult and got a degree and expertise in working with children who are severely autistic. And Bev, you described to me one time going to a Christmas party and all these autistic kids come running to Bev's daughter because they all had a relationship with her. Well, how did she form those relationships? You know, autistic kid doesn't give you a lot to work with. And what my niece has a gift to do is to come alongside that child and just be with them for as long as it takes. And then at some point that child is going to blink an eye and my niece will blink her eye back, or they'll nod their head and she'll nod her head back. And before long, they're going back and forth, and there's enough of a trust and a relationship built that they're actually getting to know one another. That's the power of that gift, an ability to reach somebody who's got those kind of needs and issues.
Hey there, friends. We're taking a short break from this episode to let you know about an excellent marriage resource available to you. After 30 years of marriage, Rob and Joanna Tigan are passionate to help couples draw closer to God and each other every day. And because of this, they have created Mr. and Mrs. 366 Devotions for Couples. This gorgeous book gives you an inspiring scripture, a word of teaching and encouragement, and a prayer to lift up together every day of the year. It's incredible how connecting with God and each other through a daily devotional can transform your marriage and give you hope. You can find Mr. and Mrs. 366 Devotions for Couples at growinghometogether.com or wherever books are sold. Okay, friends, let's get back to the show.
Yeah, and you know, you had a great story. I'm thinking of the shyness example you gave, but you also have a great story in the book about that, like how oftentimes we get in that confusion of the push and pull, like we try to push our kids into something to be something that they're not, but sometimes we don't always know that tension. And I know for us, we've got a couple kids who are clearly gifted leaders. They've got the assertiveness and a great way of communicating their thoughts. And so I'm just curious, because when they're younger, it can come across as very, you know, bossy and pushy, and we can try to, you know, squelch that out of them, I guess. So what would you say, and you've touched a little bit on this, but what would you say to the parent whose child's giftedness seems confusing or even negative at this point?
It's a great question, Rob, and a very personally kind of important to me. I love that God gives me grandkids that are almost like one of every type of child, so that I can like keep learning during this season of life as well. But I have a granddaughter who is 4, and from the time she's been pretty little, she's made it clear that this is going to be her way. And I also feel kind of strong about this because my older sister was a person who had what I would call a lot of power packed into a tiny little person. And that's what you're seeing mostly with children like that. They have power and they have almost no way to really appropriately express it. So these are children that often melt down easily. They get frustrated easily. They yell, they scream, they may pee on the floor. They do a lot of things that the parents are like, what is going on? Well, that has been, it's been really beautiful for me to watch my 4-year-old, because to really begin to empathize with how it would be, look through her lens and say, how would it be to have all of this amazing power that, by the way, when you get a hold of that power and harness it, this kid is totally amazing. I just spent the weekend with her and, you know, she just got moved up in gymnastics. And even though there's no 4-year-olds in this one, this little program, you know, they wanted her because she's so strong. And then she goes to soccer and she decides after, you know, six games that now she's going to score two goals. You know, it's like when she gets engaged, when you can harness that power, you can see this is a child who wants to show you what she can do. But usually it kind of squirts out in a way that, you know, people around her are thinking, oh my goodness. But again, what's right with her is what we need to kind of do and help the parent recognize that this is going to be, it's challenging to raise a leader. I'll just say that because leaders don't start out all, you know, kind of buttoned down and all ready to run. They definitely can, you know, have these years where it feels to them even like, I don't even know what to do with this. And so I think that's really where the empathy comes in, is to say, you know, this is really hard for them. How do I help them? Again, back to relationship, back to helping them, you know, put some controls around it, helping them to settle down. The easiest thing for a parent is just lose it with those kids. But now you're out of control. So what have you done with your power? So it's really about finding a way to use our own power as parents in kind of the way Jesus did, where he emptied himself of the power. Because, you know, obviously he could have just, you know, done it a whole different way. But he did it through love. And that's what we want to make our kids see.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think with strong, what we'd call strong-willed child, I know you talk in the book too about that, just how sometimes we try to limit our kids' control, and there's a reason they want some control. So how can we, obviously you can't give kids full control, but there are ways that you can allow them to feel some control. And so there's always that challenge as a parent to, you know, with the shy kid, you don't necessarily want to push them into things that they don't, but it's easy to ignore where their giftedness is in that. And sometimes with the strong-willed child, it's easy to quit squelch it rather than try to channel it. And so you guys give a lot of great direction with that. And, you know, one of the things that really caught my attention in your book was how we as parents sometimes haven't discovered our own giftedness. And so it's hard for us to know how to help our kids discover their giftedness. What are some ways I can get to know myself better in that area so I can start helping my kids too?
Well, one thing you could do, and I'd recommend this for all our listeners. The book that I wrote before this book is called The Person Called You, Why You're Here, Why You Matter, and What You Should Do With Your Life. It's essentially an introduction to the whole phenomenon of giftedness. And in the back of that book, I have an exercise that is similar to what we use at our consulting practice, where you find a partner and then you come up with a list of what we call giftedness stories. And these are about activities that you can look back on in your life all the way back into childhood to the present. Activities you took joy in doing, you gained energy from doing. Could be simple things like learning to ride a bike or baking some cherry tarts or a project in fifth grade history where you dressed up as a character from history and gave a speech to the class, or a poem you recited, or in high school, some science fair project. Everybody has these golden moments when they got to do something that they enjoyed doing it. And then you tell that partner a handful of those stories, about six or eight of those stories. And after telling each story, you and your partner, you list out some of the words that you used. And we have instructions in the book on how to do this. By way of abilities and things you worked with and through and the circumstances you were in and what you enjoyed about it and so forth. And if you get all of that evidence, that data of all those words, and then you look across them, you start to see patterns that emerge from those stories, things that you consistently work with and through, abilities that you consistently use. And there's a thread of satisfaction that you keep coming back to again and again. And that begins to point to your own giftedness. And that's basically the process.
And what was the name of that book again? I need to write that down.
The title again is The Person Called You.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah, that's really great. And, you know, I really do want my kids to take hold of their worth and the unique giftedness that God built into them. But you alluded to this before, but it does seem like our culture does not always value the quiet observer or that kid who thrives backstage instead of front and center. So how do you think the culture right now is playing a part in shaping our kids' giftedness?
Oh, well, the culture, let me put it this way. The culture doesn't make the giftedness. The giftedness is there, inborn, we believe. It's there because God put it there. The culture is an influence of the environment. And in the main, the influence is not altogether good because, you know, young people, particularly today, they sort of have ideas about, you know, what the right way to be is. And that gets mediated through social media, how you're supposed to look, how you're supposed to talk, what you're supposed to think, what you're supposed to believe. And these are very obviously powerful influences, but those influences have a way of pushing people into kind of a mold, as opposed to, why don't you be who you are and let's help you discover that. And that's why parents are so important. And you talk about the worth piece. John, the older I get and the more people I meet in this world, I realize how many people feel worthless because our world is performance driven. And the coin of the realm, of course, is money. So the lower you are in the food chain, the more worthless you feel. And one of the wonderful things about giftedness is that it begins to wake you up to your worth. And I don't just mean your economic worth, but the inherent intrinsic worth of who you are as a human being. That's why we make a big deal in the book about celebrating the giftedness, whatever it is. Oftentimes, the gift itself, particularly in youth, it may not seem to be a big deal. You know, well, mommy, what's my giftedness? Well, your giftedness is you have this ability to come alongside people and listen to them and just be their friend. On the surface, that doesn't seem like a big deal. But as a parent, what you want to do is say, you know, I love the way you come alongside people and listen to them because people need to be heard. When you listen to them, they feel like they are worth something. And I know you enjoy doing that.
Our culture tends to celebrate shiny things. So those gifts that your child has that will somehow they have worth for that. They have a way of using that. That tends to be the thing that will get promoted. And one of the things that I think that is so critical about knowing the giftedness of your child is that your child is here in this space and time in this culture for a reason. And there is an intersection between the way that child is made and what God's purposes are for that child in the world. And so the more that they have a sense from you that that has value, that they know what that is, that they can begin then when they get old enough to begin to make their own choices, they think about, well, here's how I'm wired. Here's what is right with me. Because you've said that over and over and you've given really good examples and you've set up life in ways that maybe they've had opportunities to see that on a missions trip or somewhere. So they now have a counter message to what this culture is saying to them. Which I think is so valuable. So they have two things. They really have your blessing, because that's what you're doing, is blessing them by saying, here's how God made you. Here is really the most wonderful thing about you. It tells us this is, you know, why you are here for this space and time. And so your valuing it is huge. But then them going out and knowing that internally is going to be, you know, such a gift for them when they begin to think about, where is God using me in this space and time?
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys have given us so much great stuff to think about as we grow to know our kids better. And I know we've just really scratched the surface with all the great stuff in here. And what, you know, as you talk, I'm just thinking about how easy it is to put our kids' giftedness based on performance, you know, and it's not always related to that. And I think kids really struggle with that in this day and age of social media, of trying to well, I'm not that good, so maybe I'm not gifted at that after all. And so to have the encouragement of our of parents in the background to cheerlead them and help them discover and find that and say it's not always connected to how you perform. But I just want to know what's one thing that you want to leave with us as a takeaway for our time together today, if you could leave one thing.
I would like to leave parents with the joy of knowing that you are here on purpose in that child's life. There's a yes to all of this. This is God's yes to you. With all you are, with all you are not, you are meant to be that child's parent. And so that means even on the days when you feel like you blow it, that also is a day that's ordained for you with this child, and to be able to ask for forgiveness, for that child to see, boy, mom and dad blow it too. They're really not perfect. Helps them when they feel so much like they don't stack up, that, you know, pencils have erasers for a reason. And they kind of have a sense of, wow, I make mistakes, but it's okay. And to just really the joy of being with that particular child, knowing that God picked you for that child and that child for you, just really should give you a sense of how beloved you are as a parent, and how much God wants you to do this thing with all your might.
Well, I think the thing I'd leave, Rob, is Bev alluded to earlier, the dominant model for parenting in our culture is that the child is a product, and your job as parents is to bring this baby home from the hospital and then do all these things, parenting, socializing, educating, et cetera, to help the child, quote, turn out at age 22 and whatever they're going to turn out to be. And of course, turn out is kind of a manufacturing term by the nature. The problem is that and however they turn out becomes a referendum on how well you did as a parent. But our view is that a child is not a product, a child is a person. And essentially what you have there on the weighing table when that baby is born, you have an infant person, but they're a person nonetheless. That personhood has been given them by God, and it includes this thing called their giftedness, which is almost like a user's manual on the child, if you can tap into it. It tells you what this child was designed, how they were designed to function and live. And your job then as parents changes, because you're taking this infant person home and you steward that infant person into the adult person that God intended them to be. And if you come at parenting through that lens, it takes a lot of pressure off. I think parents are just so overwhelmed that they're going to screw this thing up, because they're thinking this all depends on me and how I help this child turn out. And our message is, oh no, yes, you've got responsibility, but not pressure. You don't have to make your child anybody. God already made them into who they are. Just slow down, pay attention, and let this, as Bev loves this term, and I'm glad we have it in the title, let the wonder of this child begin to reveal itself to you, this person who's going to ultimately grow up to be an adult. And God put them here to make a wonderful blessing and contribution to the world. And you have a front row seat, not only on watching that happen, but helping that to happen in the way that you parent your child.
I love that. Thank you so much for that. You know, I am sure that there are parents listening who want to go a lot deeper in their understanding and their enjoyment of their son or daughter. Would you be willing to pray for us that we can see who God made our kids to be?
Absolutely. Yep. Would you like to pray for
us? Sure. Father, I thank you for every single person that is listening to these words. Father, may they be your words. And the line go directly to their heart. May they be encouraged that they are here on purpose, for purpose. May they be strengthened in their ability to be patient, show love, and see the wonder that is happening right in front of them. Father, we know that there are parents out there that have just so much on top of them. Maybe they have financial difficulties. Maybe they have marital problems. Maybe their life just feels like it's spinning out of control. But God, you are in control, and you have brought them to this child and this child to them in just the most beautiful act of love that you could think of. We thank you so much for them, just the privilege of being called into that. And I pray that you will strengthen the hearts and the minds of every parent that's listening, and they may they seek to do your word, your will in this child's life. And Father, just also be willing to call you in all the time for when they are out of wisdom, out of any kind of technique, that they will remember, God, that you've called them to this, and that they may seek your face and find you there. Thank you so much for the way that you show up for us every single day and teach us how to be a parent. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So thank you for that. I know everyone is going to want to learn more about your book and your other resources. Where can our listeners go to connect with you online?
Yes, we actually have a webpage. They can go to www.giftedness.co/parenting. So that's www.giftedness, and that's spelled giftedness.co/parenting.
Right. That's great. And hey, friends listening, just head over to our show notes. We'll make sure that there's a clickable link right there so you can go right to it. Okay.
Yes. And thank you so much, Bill and Bev, for being with us today and taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Well, this has been our privilege, Rob, Joanna. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. And we really pray for your ministry as well. Thank you so much for that faithfulness.
Thank you, Bev. And thank you, friends, for joining us on the podcast today. We would love to connect with you over on our website at growinghometogether.com, where we have all kinds of resources to help you pray for your kids, make memories, and laugh together as a family. And at Growing Home Together, we're caring for the soul of your family.
And growing home together with you. Bye.
Bye.